Massacre in 1990 was the worst single atrocity of the Liberian Civil War. About 600 civilians, including many children, were killed whilst taking refuge in a church. At the time, troops loyal to the then president Samuel Kaido were accused of carrying out the killings. Now, four survivors have brought a claim for damages in a US court against one of the men they believe was responsible. The Global Justice and Research Project is the organisation which did much of the background research and documentation in order for this case to happen. Its director, Hassan Bliti, joins us now from Monrovia. Welcome to Newsday. Now, the one man that we've been speaking about on Newsday so far this morning is Moses Thomas, who now lives in America, in Philadelphia. Can you summarise the case against him?
Good morning to you and good morning to the listeners. First of all, the event occurred on July 29, 1990, in Monrovia. After several years of research, about 3 years or so, the Global Justice and Research Project was able to identify survivors of the massacre and spoke with them in conjunction with the Center for Justice and Accountability based in San Francisco, California. We were able to get evidence that indicated that Mr. Moses Thomas was one of the ringleaders that went to the Lutheran Church on that day, July 29, 1990. So generally, this is a civil suit. It is not a criminal suit, but we believe that Even if Moses Thomas had lived in the United States for the next 100 years, nothing could have been done because torture and war crimes, for example, war crimes was criminalized when committed outside the United States territory. That was criminalized inside the United States in 1996, and this event occurred in 1990. So civil suit is a way to start. Okay. There are several legal options that we are also looking at. But for now, that is just a summary of the case.
So it's a way of starting. It's a way of starting. And this was a horrendous, bloody massacre that we have to say Moses Thomas says he did not order. He was no part of that. That is what he is claiming. But when people went into this church after this massacre, first-hand accounts say they thought everybody was dead, and then somebody heard a baby crying, and then because when they realised that the person coming in was coming in to help, then there was movement amongst all of these bodies because people had been playing dead. And it is some of these babies and children who are now bringing these cases, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I mean, this was a very horrendous massacre in Liberia. In addition to what you just said, one of the most difficult stories to listen to is, for example, what they did is they pretended as if they were leaving the church compound by pounding their boots on the ground. So survivors among the dead would think that the soldiers were leaving, and when they got up, they began to shoot at them. So we believe in the strength of our evidence. We believe that this is the beginning, and we believe that the survivors were very courageous to have brought this. It's taken 27 years, and nothing had happened. We think that our work in collaboration with that of the Center for Justice and Accountability in the United States will bring some closure, at least from the beginning, to the survivors in this situation.
How far off? I mean, you have to get, presumably, obviously, the civil case has to stand up first of all. How confident are you if that does happen? Because, as you say, under the changes that came in American law, they came in not soon enough for that to happen in this particular case. But how confident are you that if you get the civil action upheld, you would be able to get a deportation, maybe, and get a criminal conviction?
Well, first of all, there are several options. For example, Mr. Thomas could get deported if he's held liable for in part for this crime. He could get deported to Liberia. In such a scenario, it will be left with the Liberian government to prosecute him. And witnesses, if possible, can also take legal actions against him in Liberia. But there is another aspect to it, and that is, we believe that while testifying or while signing this immigration document in the United States, that it is possible, this is not 100%, that it is possible that Mr. Tama did not tell U.S. immigration authorities about his involvement or alleged involvement in the Lutheran church massacre. And if that is the case, then, of course, this would be considered perjury and this could be a criminal offense. So there is a gradation of legal options that the Global Justice and Research Project and the Center for Justice and Accountability in the United States are looking at. The most important thing here is this. I want the listener to understand that these people that were massacred had run away from their homes, from the war, into a church compound. I mean, this should be the last place that you can walk in and then shoot at people, you know. The Liberian government in the past has been either unable or unwilling to do anything about war prosecution, I mean, criminal prosecution for war crimes in Liberia. You may remember that the TRC, that's the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Liberia, submitted its recommendations to the government of President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, and those recommendations were politicized, purely politicized. So not a single person has been held accountable for anything for the about 250,000 people murdered during the war here in Liberia.
Okay, well, that could be the start of it, the case we're seeing now. Hassan Bilitti, thank you for joining us from the Global Justice and Research Project. And just to reiterate, speaking to the BBC after being served court papers on Monday, Moses Thomas, called the allegation nonsense. He said, "I don't want to give any credence to the allegation. No one in my unit had anything to do with the attack on the church."